Brilliant. So we're doing a series as a church during the course of this year, which is all about being family and being God's family, being the people of God and that sort of thing. And if you look around church, just have a look around you quickly, person in front of you, behind you, whatever. If you look around, you will see people who are beautiful, people who are talented, people who are gifted, people, as the Bible says, who are fearfully and wonderfully made. But that doesn't mean that everybody in church or anybody in church is perfect. Every single person in church is somebody who is on a journey, growing with God, getting to know Jesus, becoming more and more like Jesus. But one thing that is true in church is that everybody should be accepted, number one. All those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ will know that they are forgiven and be seeking to live as God wants them to live. And our story this morning is about two guys. The one is Onesimus, and the other one is Philemon. And these two characters in the Bible, their story basically is a story about forgiveness, a story about acceptance, and a story about new beginnings, which we're going to explore a little bit today. So here's the story, and this is how it goes. Philemon is a leader in the church in a city called Colossae, all right? And like many people in those days, Philemon owned slaves, all right? Slaves were kind of a normal part of life in those days. You'd have slaves to help you with the housework, slaves to help you with the, if you had a farm or land or anything like that, you would employ or have slaves to do this work for you. And Philemon had a slave, and one of those slaves was a guy called Onesimus. And one day, Onesimus decided, you know, I don't want to be a slave anymore. And so Onesimus decided he was going to run away. But before he ran away, it's likely that he stole some stuff from Philemon to make sure that he had the money, whether it was money or whether it was something valuable. He stole something from Philemon in order to fund his trip so that he could make good his escape. And Onesimus at the time, he wasn't a Christian. So you could say, well, he didn't quite know much better, really, did he, at this stage? But the thing is, he would have been absolutely sure that if he had been caught, the likelihood is that he could have been put to death. How do you think Philemon felt knowing that his slave had run away and he had been stolen from? Does anybody want to give me a couple of words? Yeah? He would have been upset.
Betrayed.
Angry. Just a few of the emotions. But how do you think Onesimus felt in all of this? Maybe felt a little bit guilty because he was running away, Shiro? Maybe a bit relieved to not be a slave anymore, yeah? He felt free, maybe, for the first time. Okay, so as God would have it, Onesimus ran away from Philemon. He left Colossae, and he journeyed all the way to Rome. And it just so happens in Rome that he meets the Apostle Paul. And he spends a bit of time with the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul introduces him to Jesus, tells him all about Jesus. And so at some point, Onesimus must have put his trust in Jesus Christ and become a Christ follower, become a Christian. He also became good friends with the Apostle Paul, and Paul would have taught him all about following Jesus, and Paul would have showed him how to read the Bible and how to pray and these different things. And also, Onesimus would have helped Paul. At some point during their friendship, Paul and Onesimus decided, do you know what? I think it will be a good idea if you go back. You have been forgiven by God. You do have peace with God. But the problem is you've got this broken relationship in your past with somebody who is a brother in Christ. And maybe you should go back to go and make amends and learn what it means to live in that place in submission to God. They decided that this was a good idea and that Onesimus was going to go back to Philemon. And not sending him by himself, Paul wrote a letter, which is the letter that we have in the Bible called Philemon. And he gave it to another guy, Tychicus, who went with Philemon all the way back to Colossae. I guess the night before Onesimus made his journey, he would have been lying in his bed thinking.
I'm so nervous. More nervous than the day that I stole from Philemon and I ran away from him. And life has been so good these last few months. I met Paul, found out about Jesus, that he died for my sins. I have never felt so free. However, there's always been this little niggle at the back of my mind that things aren't right with Philemon. Learning from Paul has been amazing. He's taught me about Jesus, showed me how to pray, modelled how to live. It's been amazing. But we agreed I must go back, make things right. But what if he doesn't accept me? What if he doesn't forgive me? What if he punishes me and has me thrown in prison or worse, put to death? I'm so nervous about this. This is all way out of my comfort zone. And I feel as though I'm taking a really big risk in reaching out.
The next morning, Philemon and Tychicus left from Rome to travel back to Colossae. It's a journey that would have taken them not just days, but probably weeks to get there. And eventually they would have arrived in the city of Colossae. And for Onesimus, I think he would have thought to himself, everything looks so familiar, but everything is different because his life was completely different. He knew the way to Philemon's house, and they arrived at Philemon's house walking into the familiar courtyard. At first, I guess they didn't see Philemon standing underneath the citrus tree close to the house. Philemon had frozen. The moment that he had seen Onesimus, he had just come to a standstill, just staring. Here is the slave. And who's that man with him? He looks somehow vaguely familiar. Haven't I seen this guy with Paul? Onesimus and Tychicus made their way to Philemon, and Tychicus hand over the letter from the Apostle Paul. Philemon opened it, and he quickly began to read what the letter said, his eyes sticking on a particular phrase. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And Philemon's thoughts were a whirl.
I can't believe this guy. I treated him so well, as I do all my slaves, and he betrayed me, stole from me, ran away, humiliated me, and now he turns up at my door, having found Jesus and made a friend of Paul. I can't think straight at the moment. I am so angry. Am I just supposed to forgive and forget? What will people say in church? What will my other slaves think? All I can think of at the moment is revenge, repayment, and getting justice. He needs to pay for what he did to me. And yet, is that not what Jesus has done for me? Pay for the wrong I did when he died on the cross? I can't think straight, and Onesimus is looking at me with a strange look in his eye. Nerves, yes. Sadness, yes. And love. The same love as I see in the eyes of my brothers and sisters at church. The eyes of those who accept me.
So here's a question for you. On the chairs, you would have had a little card. It's red on the one side and it's green on the other side. And I just want you to take a moment and turn to the person next to you. And the question is, who would you rather be in the story? Would you rather be Onesimus, who has to come and seek forgiveness? Or would you rather be Philemon, the one that has to do the forgiving? Just talk to the person next to you very briefly, and I'm going to get you to hold up the cards how you want to vote. Okay, settle down. Right. This is the moment where you get to vote. So if, on the count of three, we're going to do this on the count of three, if you would rather be Onesimus, the one that's asking for forgiveness, you're going to hold up the green side so that I see the green side, you'll be looking at the red side. If you would rather be Philemon, who is the one who has to do the forgiving, then you hold up the red side so that you'll be looking at the green side. So on the count of three, one, two, three, let's see. Oh, that is very interesting. From our perspective up here, there's more red, yeah? There is more red, so more of you would rather do the forgiving than more of you would actually, and less of you would actually be the ones wanting to ask for forgiveness. Very interesting. The thing is, both of these guys, you can put your cards down, both of these guys are carrying stuff. All right, both of these guys are carrying stuff. For Onesimus, he's nervous. And he's ashamed. And he's embarrassed. And he's vulnerable. And there's a humbleness and a humility about him. And he's repentant. And he's really sorry. But at the same time, Philemon's also carrying a whole bunch of stuff. He's got lots of anger. There's lots of bitterness. He's disappointed. He's furious about the injustice. He's hurt. And he wants punishment and justice to be done. I want you to get a very good look at both of these guys this morning. Because in this relationship of reconciliation and forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and being the forgiver, both people are carrying stuff. Both people are carrying stuff. Right? Both people have burdens and that sort of thing that they have to carry. And the only way to deal with these is to bring them to the cross. There is no other way. You can try to carry the stuff and it's going to get weigh you down and become such a burden. The only way to deal with these things is to take them to the cross and nail them to the cross. There's a verse in Colossians. You can go across them. The pins are at the bottom. Just start sticking them to the cross. There's a verse in Colossians that says that the law has been nailed to the cross, but I also believe that all the things that we carry can be placed there as well so that we don't have to carry them. And as a church, we're supposed to be people who are welcoming. We're supposed to be people who are forgiving. We're supposed to be people who are gracious. So here's another question for you. What are some of the ways? What are some of the ways that you can show people that they're forgiven and accepted in church? Just talk to the person very quickly next to you. Name one way that you can show people that they are accepted and forgiven in church. What's one thing that you could do in church to show people they are accepted and forgiven? Talk to the person next to you very quickly, just for a second.
What do you think? You can say hello, high five, low five, baby five. Next slide.
Okay, settle down. Give me one or two answers. Does anybody want to shout out an answer? Yeah? Hugs. You could give them hugs or high fives. Nice. Hugs and high fives we've got. Anybody else? Mildred? You could say sorry. Shake hands. Give me one more from this side. Anybody want to have a go? Sorry? Be human. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. And in doing these things, last slide, in doing these things, we're seeking to live the devoted life, remember? This is what our series is all about. How can I live the devoted life? Well, I can join in and I can invite others to join in. I can adhere and welcome others to adhere. I can be ready to serve people, be ready to forgive people in these ways. But the key thing in all of this is it starts at the cross. All right, that's the place where, as the song we're about to sing says, that's the place where mercy reigns. That's the place we can lay down our burdens. That's the place that we can be forgiven. So as we sing together and sing these words, at the cross, let's just focus our minds there. And maybe you need to do some business with God and say sorry to God for things that you've done. Or maybe you need to send a text message to somebody to say, I'm sorry for the way I spoke to you or treated you or something like that, so that there can be reconciliation and forgiveness that takes place. Why don't we stand and sing this together?